Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, we will get into the Colorado Rockies 12-3 drubbing of the Los Angeles Angels at Anaheim, California, and probably, not probably, I'm taking a quick, their most emphatic road win of the season there. We'll get into all of that, but we've got to begin with news. We've got news, Patrick, since we've been able to open this show with pretty much breaking news, but it is being reported out there first by, I'm going to say the last name is, again, one of those names I read all the time, so you're going to correct me, Mark Feinstein?
Mark Feinstein, you're right there. You're the fine part. Mark Feinstein, New York based writer for MLB.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. First reported by Mark, our good friend, longtime friend.
Mark F. We love Mark F.
Good Mark F guy. That the Rockies traded Michael Givens to the Cincinnati Reds, later being more or less confirmed here by Thomas Harding, who tweeted out that per source, when the deal of Michael Givens to Reds is done, the Rockies will reacquire right-handed pitcher Case Williams, their fourth-round pick from last year. He went to Cincinnati with Jeff Hoffman in the deal that brought Robert Stevenson and Jameson Hanna to the Colorado Rockies. So this is like a multi-pronged. So really, the Rockies have traded Michael Givens, which was really Taron Vavra and
Drew. If you do this, it's not. It's going to look actually a lot worse for Colorado, unfortunately. But you're right. That is a way of looking at it, and you get it. You know, it's, you know, breaking all this down. You know, in a vacuum, it's so hard to do these things right now. The bottom line is Michael Givens is on an expiring contract. Get what you can get for him, and sure, maybe it's less than you might like as a fan, but they got something for ultimately what was going to be nothing for them in the offseason. You go back a couple steps and you look at the, you know, the offseason trade with, you know, ultimately Jeff Hoffman for Robert Stevenson with the packages involved there. And you go back even further and you look at the 2020 trade deadline. Were they in it? Were they not? Were they really, you know, were they make believe or were they legitimately in the hunt? And they went out and acquired Kevin Pillar and Michael Givens. And you say, well, let's take kind of all those things in together. And you look at the trade tree. Yeah, you know, maybe it's not better than it originally was. But I'm not actually going to fault the Rockies because they went after it in 2020. And that's something that, you know, the club and any club gets criticized for when they're close. Sure, you would like for your team, whoever they are, to maybe do a better job at different times and say, no, now's the time you go for it. Now's the time you don't. Now's the time you trade off. Overall, I'll say, you know what? They thought they had something there in 2020 to go for it. So I'm going to give them a thumbs up. They make the deal with the Reds in the offseason. They get back Case Williams now. Yeah, maybe it's a net loss. I think in each individual instance, they did what they could and ultimately probably what they should have. So I'm okay with it if you look at it in the bigger picture.
Yeah, it's hard. What I was building up for the math there, as Will points out, and you did leave one name out, but it basically comes down to Jeff Hoffman, Tyler Nevin, and Taron Vavra are out of your organization. Robert Stevenson, Jameson Hanna, and Case Williams is now back in your organization. Now, of course, you kind of send them out to make it work or whatever, but that's at the end of the day what you end up with. And for me, I'm like, I agree with you. Each one of those, you kind of go, well, in hindsight, shouldn't have tried to buy at 2020. That didn't help you. But you understood right when they were just a couple of games out why they thought that they could.
I'm not going to fault them, right? You can't. They're doing what a lot of other fan bases, and you say, hey, go for it.
Well,
they probably shouldn't have, but at the same time, I couldn't necessarily fault them for doing it. I was a little surprised, but hey, good on you. Go for it. There was an extra wild card that was at stake. So it seems very well like a decent gamble, right? For a much shorter period of time. It wasn't like you're acquiring at the trade deadline and you need the next 2 months to go well. It was only you needed a month. So I'm okay with that. And the words that I heard at the time, the Rockies organization had soured a bit on Tyler Nevin. He was a guy that needed to be on the 40-man roster. And I'd heard from some on the inside that they actually weren't going to protect him. It doesn't necessarily mean he would have been on the 40-man roster. He could have just been languishing away in Albuquerque. You know, don't know. So really, it maybe was more of just Taron Vavra was what they had to give up in that deal. And the Jacob Wallace in the Kevin Pillar trade there. But like I said, I mean, I'm actually, you know, not that I care, not that I'm trying to defend or not defend. When I take a step back and I just look at it as an evaluator, they went for it. And it wasn't the worst idea in the world. It made sense. And I'm okay with that, even if in the bigger picture, maybe they shouldn't have, right?
Right.
Good on you for trying.
And you know, it's funny. The top comment that I saw under Mark F's original report was from a Cincinnati Reds fan saying, oh, man, we're messing up the rebuild to try to fix our bullpen so that we can just miss the playoffs again this year. And I was like, they might be. I don't know. They might make a run. They might go for it, but they got to, you know, figure out a way to pass both Dodgers and the Padres, or at least the two of those two teams to get that. It's going to be an uphill battle for the Reds. So it's always, but like you said, on their side, but can you really fault them for going for it? The other thing that I do want to say as we're doing all the math here is I'd be surprised if like a bunch more names were coming through in this deal. The Rockies got like more people.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure that it's totally complete. The way Thomas has phrased this, he said as part of the deal. So that's okay. But you know, we'll keep our eyes on that and see if anything else actually does come through. But at the end of the day, you know, if Case Williams, and it sounds like he is somebody they've, you know, always had interested in and were, you know, not super stoked about having to move on from him to make that other deal work. Happy to get him back. If it turns out, you know, he's a good player for you. Jameson Hanna, you know, has looked like he may turn out to be a really solid player for you. So I, you know, obviously all these players have different evaluations at aspects or whatever as trade pieces, but then you've also got to look at the other part of it of what do they actually end up producing? And so we'll keep our eyes on that. Because ultimately, that's what you're going for anyway. So, and we won't know with a lot of these guys for a while. We know Jeff Hoffman didn't produce for the Rockies, and that's one of those hard things to get. Even if he produces a ton for the Reds, you know, there are people, it's not like you can say, well, wish I had him back. Look at what he's doing now. Like, that's one of those ones where you go, Nevin and Vavra, keep our eyes on. If those guys end up having really, really solid careers, it makes this whole thing look that much worse. If they end up being fine, you know, turns out Rockies didn't really miss out on much there, especially if then on the flip side, you know, Williams and Stevenson and Hanna end up being somehow difference makers. They're less likely to be. Let's find out.
Yeah, Vavra was a guy that I was very much high on and was a big fan of in the organization.
Yeah,
and, like, you know, Vavra. If Trevor Story does end up moving on, you go, you know, would Vavra have been able to stick well enough defensively at shortstop, you know, and I don't think Rogers is necessarily a fit there. He may get a shot, but again, he's in that second shortstop mix right there in the middle infield. He's a guy that I like, and I think that's a fair point you make about Jeff Hoffman, because again, the Rockies are at that disadvantage of they could have gone out and drafted Kumar Rocker, and you know all of the 29 teams could be salivating, thinking, oh man, if we had this guy in our organization, you know, we could have him in our rotation right now, immediately coming out of college. We'd love that. And the Angels would kill for that. But they did pass him up in the ninth pick.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you look and say, hey, we can project him to be a number three starter. Maybe he's never an ace, but look, you could, everyone needs at least one, if not two or three number three starters. And so Rocker goes to the Rockies and has all these issues or whatever. We know that some of that just has to do with Coors Field and pitching at altitude. And that's something that, you know, the organization needs to figure out. So they're at that disadvantage when guys change locations, which happens for all organizations. Sometimes just that change in location is all they need to figure it out. And all of a sudden, you know, they've got it worked out. It's similar to Tyler Anderson, who's a name that a couple years ago, right, you know, he was designated for assignment. And the Rockies ultimately said, well, yeah, we have him under control for two more years. But, you know, between his injuries and what he was going to get paid, and again, he wasn't going to get paid a lot, but for a guy with those injury concerns, you go, I'd rather not pay him. At least that's what the organization felt. I'd rather not pay him for the injury, similar to the David Dahl conversation and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, almost exactly the same. Yeah.
Almost exactly the same. And yeah, while on one hand, I think, you know, you could criticize the organization and say, well, who did you give that 40-man roster spot to in the last year and a half? Right. And where did you use that money where you could have held on to him to try to reclaim some of that value and then traded him? Same thing with Dahl. He still has two more years of control. He still could turn around and be an all-star the next 2 years if he gets his health issues under control. And you say, well, you could have stuck with him and done that. And I understand it. But at the same time, you know, when you get those crunches for a small market team who's, you know, at times need to pinch pennies, at other times they spend and they're amongst, you know, they're close to the top 10 in salary that they spend on their payroll. That's great. But in those down years, sometimes you have to make those decisions and say, sorry, Tony Walters, we're going to move on and we're going to have Elias Diaz and a rookie catcher making the league minimum. Like, those are just decisions that tend to happen, and it is what it is.
Yeah. You know, it'll be interesting. And I've always rooted for both of those guys a lot. TA and David, obviously. Tyler gave me one of the most, candid interviews about being hurt and struggling through injury. Guys don't usually like to talk about that. Guys can be candid about a lot of things, and we've had some great interviews over the years. But talking about not playing, being injured multiple times, having people downgrade your value because you're injured. I always really appreciated that he talked to me about all of those things. And, you know, it's tough. So I've always rooted for both of those guys. It's interesting now. Yeah. Seeing Tyler Anderson as kind of like, ooh, is he really going to help the Mariners down the stretch now as they acquire him and his name being bandied about in these trades or whatever. And I hope David gets it back. But then you also go, yeah, I mean, those guys definitely haven't been difference makers, sadly, unfortunately, quite the way we hoped, we thought they would be. I hope David gets it back together, man. But there is that, like, paying him $3 million and he's not producing. And so it's hard to go back and be like, well, the Rockies should have paid him $3 million to be bad and hurt. But like you said, a couple of years to turn it around. Anything final on the Givens trade here that we can think? I guess the other element of this, and we've built this in before, right? So, by far the best reliever in the Rockies bullpen. I mean, the most solid guy in their bullpen is out now, and their bullpen is by far the worst element of the team. They've been absolutely dreadful, and so you know, we'll see what that does to the win loss record or the starting pitcher innings logged.
It's weird to think that a player might have more value to your organization as a warm body to protect other warm bodies and younger bodies than as a trade chip. And I think there's an argument to be made that maybe that's the case. And when you see what the Rockies got back in Case Williams, you say, well, maybe you should just held on to him. I don't know. I can't definitively say one way or the other. It's kind of what we said about Elias Diaz. There didn't really seem to be another catcher in the Rockies pipeline unless you call up Jose Briseño. And you say, actually, you know what, Elias Diaz might be more value to the Rockies, you know, still handling the starting rotation than as some prospect, you know, that may not have any value to the organization in the next couple of years. So that could be the case with Givens, maybe, maybe not. So that's the one takeaway. And the other piece is, you saw it last night, and we'll get to the game in a moment, is CJ Krohn going down with a bit of a groin injury. And you say, maybe the Rockies missed their opportunity to go and trade him. And yeah, there obviously is some truth to that, but it's very precarious at this time in the trade deadline, where you're working with these deadlines and you've got players going out that you want to just surround in bubble wrap, and you want to just almost leave them on the bench and not expose them to certain injury potential. And you got to play them. And so the Rockies ended up doing that last night with CJ Krohn, and he comes out, which makes for the big historic night for Sam Hilliard. And you go, maybe they lost the opportunity to trade Krohn. And you never know. Yeah, if they traded him a week ago, this wouldn't have happened. Fair argument. In 25 other multiverses, he's perfectly fine. He hits three home runs in Anaheim, and his value goes up even more. You don't know. Yeah, you would have liked for them to have made, you know, move a little bit quicker, but at the same time, you know, it is what it is. It is disappointing, no doubt, but hopefully it's nothing. Maybe we see him back in the lineup today. All it takes is one at bat. You know, we did see a couple years ago with Josh Donaldson being acquired by Atlanta when essentially on the injured list. So teams, you know, with there only being the one true deadline, you know, previously for anyone that might recall, there used to be an August 31st deadline.
The old
now
days.
You go, how could you still trade a guy like that? You're like, well, ultimately a team is, and I'm going to try to talk through remembering this, because I'm like, wait, what were the details exactly? I think it was basically a guy had to clear waivers, because we haven't thought about this in 2 years. A guy had to clear waivers. So it was basically, it was overpriced contracts. So almost nobody on the Rockies, maybe not even Charlie Blackmon, would have cleared waivers.
Right.
So what a team could do is, theoretically, in the past, they would say, all right, Charlie Blackmon's been put on waivers, and all 29 teams have an opportunity to go ahead and pick up Charlie Blackmon. If they pick him up, they take his contract. That's it, right? They say, oh, man, he's going to be a little bit overpaid. He's not going to be, you know, good outside of Coors Field. Guess what? You got him. He's your problem now. And if that team, you know, does that, they can work out a trade. And so typically a lot of times is everyone will just say no. And at that point, since a guy has cleared waivers, the team can either pull him back from waivers and say, all right, we were kind of kidding. He's going to stay on our team. Or they can then turn around and then trade that guy, that player, to anyone. So, and I'm thinking I'm missing a detail in that. But that was general idea. It was big contracts, right? That's how Justin Verlander ended up going to Houston. But now they went away from that. They said, no, you just can't trade anybody after July 30th. That's it. If a player gets waived, that's just totally different. He's a free agent. Yeah. He can sign with whoever.
Yeah.
But that team that waives the player, they are not getting any compensation back in return whatsoever. So that's that. Yeah. I think that's our last guy that we get. What's your gut feeling? Do we get anyone else traded from the Rockies?
I think there's going to be a couple more trades. Yeah. Yeah. I think there will be. But
yeah, two more trades coming down.
Yeah.
Who are the guys? If you had to guess,
I've got
who are
the over on 1.5. I still think Krohner gets traded. I've got the over on 1.5. I'll say Krohn gets traded, and then
he'd be most likely, even with the injury. I still think he's most likely.
I still.
We don't know it's permanent. We don't know if this is, you know, anything too serious. He's probably at the top.
Yeah, and then I just think one of another sort of group of players. There's a couple of relievers I think could potentially go, either Estevez or Bard. I think are potential. I still think there's a possibility that Trevor Story gets traded. And I don't know if I'll be allowed to count this. You tell me now whether or not I'll be able to count this, because almost every year the Rockies also do one of these swap of a couple of dudes you've never heard of.
Triple A arms almost.
Yeah. Well, like when they got
I wouldn't necessarily count that. Yeah. Because when they've done it the last couple of years, it was basically like, hey, I think they were trying to improve depth. Like, all right, Mike Talkman doesn't fit on the team. Let's go out and let's just get an arm that we might be able to use. Same thing happened with Joe Harvey. Same thing happened with Jesus Tinoco. It was like, hey, or not Jesus Tinoco. James Pazos. That's something. James Pazos. You know, you saw those kind of deals.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make actually. I don't. That actually would be that would be now's a great time. I think they need a couple of those kind of guys right now. I don't know if they've got enough of the manpower to be able to kind of deal on both fronts. Kind of similar to what the Seattle Mariners did, where that's where they got criticized. But Jerry DePoto's like, hold on. We're going to make two trades, as crazy as that is. We're not just going to make one. We're going to make two trades. And then overall, you're going to like the package that we're going to get. So we're going to give away a little bit maybe and weaken our 40-man roster and weaken our 26-man roster that you're going to see on the field. But then once we get the second one, you're going to look and go, okay, actually, I like a little bit more. And I think that might be the case with the Tyler Anderson acquisition now that the trade with the Phillies fell through. So that certainly could happen. If that goes down, I we can count it. We'll count it.
Well, here's how I'll answer the question. I think they make one more major league.
There you go. At
least one other trade that's probably going to be swaps of minor league guys and those kinds of things. But
I'm going to go zero on both.
Always do the latter at the trade deadline.
That I feel more confident about possibly that happening.
Yeah. Flip somebody for something, and it makes you go, oh, they got Joe Harvey, or then they got James Pazos, or whatever, you know, and then you just move on with your day. But
they almost need to do that with Givens gone, right?
Yeah,
they've actually have some decent arms in Albuquerque. That again,
yeah, it's time to see
their stat lines. Yeah, their stat lines aren't decent, but for what they're providing, you know, again, as a body, as an arm, Chad Smith, Jesus Tinoco, even Zach Roscup, you know. He was crushing it down in AAA before coming up. But yeah, I think that might even be more likely. I would say they'd more likely make one of those minor league type deals to get another body, you know, for the bullpen than they do trading one of the more established players at the major league level for future pieces. But we're getting down to the wire, man. We're getting down 48 hours.
Hours left, really, at this point. So yeah, final note, I did see Mark Feinsand. Did finalize the deal. Noah Davis, right-handed pitcher, who's their 26th best. So they had actually Case Williams was listed as their 20th best prospect. So the Rockies get the Reds 20th and 26th best prospects out of their system, both right-handed pitchers. And we'll see what happens with those guys. I don't know much about Noah Davis. I'll have to go and learn, and we can talk about that in the future. So toast your Breck brew on this day if you wanted at least a trade. For those of you who just
– You got it.
You got a trade, and one that really did, as Patrick laid out at the beginning, just makes sense for the Rockies to do from just about every angle. All of the equivocating that I've done on this show and with purpose about each unique situation that I feel is different, whether it be Marquez or Gray or Story or whatever it is. And you can line up sort of reasons, agree with them or not, reasons to keep this player around, reasons why losing him right now, even if you disagree with them, you know, there's reasons why they exist. With Givens, it's just like, nah, man, like he just got here. He's gone at the end of the year. He's not a pivotal member of helping the next generation of the Rockies learn how to pitch. He's not one of those guys who's proven to be a valuable commodity for Colorado during pivotal postseason runs. There's nothing on the ledger to say. The only thing that sucks about losing Michael Givens is one, great dude, and it's too bad that can't have him around anymore. And two, for the rest of the season, your bullpen is that much worse, which does not matter. Because it doesn't matter how many games the Rockies win this year. If anything, it matters that they lose more. And so it just there's no reason to hang on to the guy.
They trade Michael Givens, who spends 11 months in Colorado, and get back Case Williams, a guy who was drafted by the Rockies and left the organization for 8 months and is now back. Like, talk about change of residence and –
Right.
Man, they pass each other in the airport twice almost, you know? Like,
right.
Hey, you, I didn't. Yeah, Noah Davis, I don't have much on him. I do see he was drafted in the 11th round in 2018. So this is likely a year that he may need to be put on the 40-man roster here in November. So Might have been a guy that ultimately Cincinnati was like, look, we can't use this guy, toss him away. Decent numbers in high A, you know, 13 starts. So, you know, he is a starter, decent strikeout per nine ratio. So again, could provide some little bit needed, I'm not gonna say much needed help, but can always provide help to any rotation in the minor league. So, you know, good on the Rockies for at least getting that much and getting back a guy in Case Williams. They obviously liked him enough. They took him in the fourth round in 2020. So
I'm going to be very intrigued by that one and our ongoing conversation about, you know, John Boy talking about everybody, you know, why don't they just get all the Colorado guys? Well, that's a good question. It's like, and then they did, and then they got rid of him. And then, well, I brought him back. So, all right, fair enough. One last thing. I did see a hilarious comment from someone on Twitter. Sorry, I think it was a Reds fan who was joking that Michael Givens just cannot escape poor defenses and pitching and extreme pitching environments. Just poor guy is out there. And the Rockies don't have a terrible defense by any means, but obviously Coors Field, Baltimore, and now Cincinnati. It's like, have fun, Mike. He can't wait to be a free agent. He cannot wait to pick where he's going to pitch.
and pick the outfit that he's going to wear, because he's got a lot of orange and purple and now a lot of red.
Weird colors.
And he's like, just give me some navy and just a touch of red. Come on. He's going to Boston. There you go. I just figured it out because of the wardrobe. He's been all over the place. He signs with either the Boston Red Sox or another team that's, well, I'm not going to say predominantly navy, but is navy and red, the Cleveland Guardians.
Ooh, the Guardians.
It's not the second time I've referenced the Cleveland Guardians.
The Cleveland Guardians. Look.
The, right. Yes.
So toast of the Breck Brew to the Rockies front office for making a trade. To Michael Givens, honestly, for his time in Colorado. That's a thankless job to be a reliever on a bad team that you got traded for. And it's not your fault the team's bad. And it's really too bad he came on and wasn't good at the end of last year. Maybe that could have made some difference, got off on the wrong foot. But ultimately, so long and thanks for all the fish, Michael Givens. Everyone go out there, get your Breck Brew, drink your Breck Seltzies, get your 15-can samplers down at your King Supers or your local liquor store. Down at the DNVR bar, you get a much bigger Breck Brew if you're a member of the family. Those 22-ounce things are phenomenal.
We need to trademark DNVR up your beer.
There you go.
Like, this is what you get if you just walk in the door. Hey, we're glad to have you. It's going to be ice cold. You will enjoy it. But if you're a member, boom, DNVR up that Breck Brew.
We need to play the Mario sound too in the bar every time somebody DNVR ups their beer.
Ooh, that would be good.
Buys a membership. If you become a member to get the bigger beer, we've got to talk to Eric and Lindsay and the people.
It's a little too Pavlovian. It's like a little Pavlov dog. Like, you hear that sound and you're like, oh, did I pay my membership? I'm like, dude, you have three memberships on your single account. Like, well, I just want to make sure I DNVR up my beer because of the sound effects going on in here.
Well, if you want to DNVR up your beer and DNVR up your whole sports watching and sports listening, sports engaging experience, become a member at the DNVR.com. You'll get access to all the written content. You'll get constant discounts on hats and shirts and whatever else we're selling out of the merch store. You get access to the Discord channel where we're talking sports 24/7, but also movies and TV, talking a lot of Olympics right now. That's been a whole lot of fun. Which I understand fits into the category of sports, but just letting everybody know, you know, hey, you might think I'll go in there and chat with the guys about baseball or go into the Broncos side and do that. But where would I go to talk about what's happening in Tokyo right now? Same place, all just for becoming a member of the family. Check it out today at the DNVR.com. Got to get a couple of these in because we're a little deep into the show. So also got to let you know, of course, about our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Always making your sports watching experience that much more fun. I did okay yesterday. I did decent.
You nailed it. Are you kidding me? You had the pick of the week and you crushed it. You said, you had Gomber getting the win, which is such a weird specific thing that I love that you went out on the limb. But again, it had a really good payout, better than 2-1 on the payout. And so I think that was the factor because it's not just about winning. Like, hey, look, I bet $1 and I won 10 cents. Okay, you won 10 cents. You won the bet.
Totally.
But you want the long shot. You want a big payout.
Yeah.
And that was what you went with for your pick of the week. Crushed it with the Gomber. Getting the W. A lot needs to happen. And you had that right.
Man, I had to pair that stuff up. Appreciate Gomber and the offense coming through for me on that one. Felt pretty good about it early on, and we'll get into the game in just a second, obviously. But it was a whole lot of fun. You can get in on the action by downloading the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app today. As I was just talking about, they got a lot of Olympic stuff going on. So the easiest one, this is the easiest promo I've ever heard. This is the easiest way I've ever seen to turn $1 into $100 in credits, because all you got to do, download top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR when you sign up. And you'll turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. I don't know why the end of that sentence exists. What do you mean, if America wins a medal?
They average a medal every 3 minutes. Since we've been doing this podcast, they've already won 10 medals. No, I don't know what the actual number is.
I would believe that. There are so
I would too, actually. If someone said that, I'd go, that's about right. I mean, if there are more specifics, it's like during the waking hours, like what right. are the
sure, but, sure.
But still, there's some qualifiers in there where it's probably just about a rate of every 3 minutes. I don't know.
During the day, obviously. Let's not get crazy here. But so when America wins a medal and you use code DNVR, you will turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
I did want to share one thing real quick before we get into the game, because I was did some research in regards to trade deadline stuff and trades that the Rockies have made. And so I think it's fitting to say Michael Givens now goes from the Rockies to the Reds and joins a very prestigious group of players to go from the Rocks.
From the Rockies to the Reds.
All right. So this is walk down memory lane. Of course, we got Jeff Hoffman.
Oh, you're going to do this at the end.
Spit it out. What comes right off the top of your head when I go Rockies to Reds?
We were just talking about them trading back for Case Williams, who they obviously just traded to the Reds. But didn't they just – now, these weren't trades, but Philip Deal went back and forth from the Rockies to the Reds. What is going on? Is there a pipeline that I'm not aware of? Because, right,
I think Ashton Godot also signed, too, at one point.
Has been on both rosters twice, or at least
they are big fans. The Reds now do employ Kyle Bodey, who's the driveline guy. And we know a lot of Rockies pitchers, have worked with them. So I think they said, look, they're being aggressive and they're saying, we've identified these guys, Rockies pitchers, and we think over here, change of location and maybe a little change in mechanics, or hey, just change the ballpark, change in altitude. It's going to be a lot more effective, and we can get them a lot cheaper than maybe some other guys from some other teams. There's potential in that. But that wasn't a trade. I think that was just a waiver acquisition. So these are just as defined by Baseball Reference. So before the Jeff Hoffman deal, got to go back to July of 2014 when the Reds traded Jair Jurgens to the Rockies for a minor leaguer.
I remember.
He only got a couple starts. So that was actually the Rockies acquiring talent at the deadline.
Yeah.
This one, which I didn't know about, because I don't think he didn't play with the Rockies. I think he made a start for Colorado Springs. But the Reds traded in 2013, so this is 3 years after his near-perfect game. Armando Galarraga was traded.
That's right.
To the Rockies.
That's right.
Hadn't remembered that one.
He never played for the Major League.
Sky Sox. He was a Sky Sox guy.
He was to play, yeah.
2006.
Was it Ryan Howard?
Ryan Howard. Isotopes legend. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, yes. Keep going. This is great.
Dominic Brown might have been another one, too, if I'm thinking of Phillies. Reds traded Jose Acevedo to the Rockies for Alan Simpson in 2005. Okay. That doesn't move the needle for me either. 2003, Rockies sent Chris Mischalak to the Reds as part of a conditional deal. All right, here's a real one with real baseball players you may know. The Reds traded Pokey Reese and Denys Reyes to the Rockies for Luke Hudson and Gabe White. The legend Gabe White.
The legend Gabe
White. Was fantastic. Now, maybe the best season in Rockies reliever history.
Yeah, in 2000, right?
Yep. 2001.
Pokey Reese never played for the Rockies, did he?
Yeah, I don't think he did. I don't think he did. As I'm reading that, I'm going – oh, what happened with that?
Yeah, there's no way.
He must have been immediately traded.
Yeah.
He was traded for Scott Hatterberg He was traded to the Red Sox, and they acquired Scott Hatterberg. And then
for the Rockies, did he?
Yeah. And then Billy Beane turned around and said, okay, come on.
Is that the scene right before Billy goes to his house in Moneyball? Is that he got traded to the Rockies for Pokey Reese?
Well, I think the trade was the Rockies said, you're a bum. You're done. And then the A's go, all right, the Rockies did it again. The Rockies touched something and it screwed it up in the exact perfect way. No, come on. That's not the narrative.
For I've only ever been a catcher.
That's it. God. So what we're trying to say is if it wasn't for Pokey Reese, Chris Pratt would not have the acting career he did today. There would be no Jurassic Park revival. The Cleveland Guardians wouldn't exist because Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm telling you, this is
a butterfly.
I loved Pokey Reese.
Now you know why.
Yeah, now I know why.
Pokey Reese also does sound like a character from Guardians of the Galaxy. All right, let's finish. July 2001, Rockies traded Robin Jennings, don't know that name, and Todd Walker to the Reds for Alex Ochoa, who was a huge prospect about 6 years prior to that. Yeah. Reds traded Ron Valone to the Rockies. That was a win. I think Valone was pretty good for the Rockies.
Yeah.
They just sent minor leaguers back later on. Rockies traded Brian Hunter to the Reds in August of 2000. In April of 2000, Rockies traded Manny Ibar for Gabe White. So there you go. This is now the second time the Reds and Rockies have made a trade involving the exact same player. First, it was Gabe White going from Cincinnati to Colorado, then back.
And then back.
And now we have Case Williams going from Colorado to Cincinnati and back. So this is now the second time. We need to pause the podcast so we can both tweet this out.
I know, right?
We're going to get scooped on our own fact here, I think.
Baseball is just the most amazing.
It's amazing. Now, the most famous, we know, Rockies-Reds trade would have been in the offseason, 99-2000 offseason, when the Rockies traded Dante Bichette to the Reds for Stan Belinda and Jeffrey Hammonds. That was the big one.
Yeah.
RIP. And then Curtis Goodwin came over to the Rockies. I remember him ever so briefly. Rockies purchased Eric Anthony from the Reds. Not really a trade. In the first ever trade, April 10, 1995, the Reds traded Chris Sexton to the Rockies for Marcus Moore. And that is 5 minutes on more than you've ever wanted or cared to know about the trade history between the Rockies and the Reds.
All worth it for the Gabe White factoid.
And this is why you podcasted yesterday by yourself, because sometimes I can get in the way and just go off the rails. And you know what? Goody's coming back tomorrow. So we're going to just do Mets talk. We're going to do the history of just Mets trades. Not even Mets Rockies. We're just going to talk about the Mets.
The all Lee Mazzelli podcast. I'm ready. We're doing it.
The Rockies won last night. So I think we're just in a good mood. It's a good time to be silly almost.
Right.
They blew them out of the friggin' water, man.
They absolutely did. And since we're here, I got to run through one more of these and remind you it was beefy. It was very beefy. We're getting into the beefy win. I'm getting in to the beefy beef, though. The Hassle Cattle Company beef. You know I've been eating it. You know I've been loving it. You know I can't recommend it any higher to you, folks. I don't know what to say that I haven't said before, other than if you eat beef and you haven't tried it, you're just, at this point, you're just playing yourself. At this point, you're just paying more money for worse product from somebody else. Don't do that. Don't do that. Get better beef. They don't treat the animals poorly. You know the whole spiel by now. No antibiotics, no hormones. Really, really delicious beef. Whatever kind you like, the ground beef, ground chuck, bacon, hamburgers, steaks, sausages, whatever you're into, it's fantastic. Use promo code DNVR10. You'll get 10% off. If you order over $200, you will get free shipping.
And if you're on the cusp, like now's the time to pull the trigger on that. Like it's barbecue season. Like now's the time. You're out on your patio. Even if it's 100 degrees, it doesn't matter. You got to be firing up the grill. Kids are in the backyard, running through sprinklers. I was going to say jumping in the pool, but nobody really has a pool in Colorado. It's not. That's kind of an East Coast thing. But still, running through the sprinklers, you're hanging out, you're having your Breck brews. It's barbecue season. Do that. And you know what? Fine. If you're going, look, I'm having some friends over for a little party, a little barbecue. Show off with the Hassle Cattle Company. And you can say, this is going to be a one-off. Okay. You can think that. That's fine. We know it. We know you're going to order again.
Right.
But you know what? Yeah. If you want to tell yourself it's a one-off,
right,
use promo code DNVR10, one and done. Have the best barbecue you've ever had. And then we'll talk after.
And then we'll see. Exactly right. All right, Patrick, as you were talking about, absolute beatdown from the Colorado Rockies last night. Really wasn't expecting that. I mean, how could you be? Yeah. I mean, nobody was expecting that 12 runs on the road out of this team. And when the Angels are sending a pitcher to the hill in Jose Suarez, who's had a very good season so far and is also like the particular variety of pitcher, those kind of crafty soft toss and lefties that always worry me when lefties are going up there and trying to be aggressive while dealing with that, with all the things we know about how the ball moves differently. And it's like you're trying to go up there and make things happen against a guy who's trying to get you to be too aggressive, right? He's trying to outpatience you. And he just didn't have the full sharpness, and the Rockies got him. And there was some bad defense behind him, which we saw the game before, got Marquez a little bit, but he was able to handle it a little bit better. The Rockies were able to come through with some big hits.
Yeah, they had the right scouting report, because although going into the game you saw his ERA and you're like, all right, mid threes, not bad for American League pitcher, but a lot of that come in relief, so they were stretching him out a little bit, and it was, again, just be patient, and it worked. It absolutely worked, and as the game went on, it worked even better. And at that point, Joe Maddon's just thrown out there saying, we're going to have to try to win Wednesday as the rubber match. So let's just throw whoever we've got remaining out of the bullpen. And you got Wants and Guerra and Mayers coming in. They're, less than guys. And then they finish it up with a position player.
Yeah.
Right. Adam Eaton ends up having to go out and bite the bullet. And you go, all right, anytime. And that should be a statistic. In fact, I don't know that you could find that anywhere. Oh, and I'm almost surprised.
Point. How many times that, have you forced the other team to use a position?
So I know the boys over at Cespedes Family Barbecue, a.k.a. Cut 4, they, do position player pitching. And anytime that happens, it's interesting. It's definitely lost its luster because it's kind of become basic protocol of like, hey, in a blowout, save your pitchers. Throw position player,
right.
So be it. It's fine. It's accepted. But it would be cool to know, what teams have done it the most, and what team has done it has forced the other team.
Yeah,
that's the real big one. That would be kind of cool.
That'd be great
to figure out, right?
Yeah. For sure, I definitely
think that would be neat. I can't think if it happened any other time this year for Colorado. Come to think, I think it. I want to say there was at least one other time, but I can't
think of it off the top of my head, but there was one other game where I'm sure there's been one other game this year where a position player came in against them because there was something that came up. I wish I could remember what game it was.
And in the games I've been to down at Coors Field, I don't think that it's happened. But again, that might even speak to the point about how just common it's become.
Well, and
with a position player going out there and doing it. And so really, is the last time it's happened for the Rockies, Josh Fuentes? Was there another one that happened?
He does not like to do that. I think that's the only time. That might be the only time Bud Black has done that in his managerial career with the Rockies, this year with Fuentes. I'm not saying that definitively, but I know he hates
it. I think it might be. I do remember him talking about that a few years ago, and he had never used it when he was in San Diego. And I think Mark Reynolds was the guy at that time that was designated to be the pitcher because that was asked. And it was like, look, I'll tell you who it is.
Yeah.
Drew Butera did it. Drew Butera did it. What am I saying?
Oh, that's
Butera
right.
Did it.
Desmond had one. So there were others. That's right. Ian Desmond pitched it. So yeah, there
were 55 other instances. But other than that, we nailed it. Yeah.
Like you said, it's this odd thing that has become far more common.
Ho hum.
The game than I would have predicted 5 or 6 years ago. That position players will start pitching. Kind of regularly.
I mean, even just the concept of like pitchers as pinch runners and pinch hitters, where at a certain point it was almost like embarrassing, like, well, you've mismanaged something. And now you go, this is a low leverage situation. Look, I don't want to burn somebody on my bench. Yeah. We're still figuring out what's happening if we do need to make a substitution or what it's going to be.
Ghost runner.
It's So the game is changing to the point where that's not a big deal, and that's okay. Like I don't mind that. Yeah, Angels used Adam Eaton, so now they've got somebody else in their pen that they can use to win a game that they have a much higher percent. They have at least a 51% chance of winning tonight's game before they even step out on the field with home field advantage, probably closer to 53%. And with the Rockies, maybe it's more like 57, 58% of winning the game. Right. And with one less guy in their bullpen, maybe it goes down a couple percentage points. Last night, they were at the 99th percentile right. losing You're not gonna win by that point in the game. Right. So that's part of the strategy in it. And Sam Hilliard.
Yeah.
So this is something I just tweeted about.
Let's talk about Sam Hilliard.
Is he a thing again? I don't know, but last night what he did was a thing. So his pinching home run was the first in interleague play. So a couple of guys had done a solo homer and a two-run homer. His was the first three-run homer. No one had hit a grand slam, pinch hit grand slam in an interleague game for the Rockies. A lot of qualifiers, but it's still fun to think about.
Hey, stats, baby.
And this one, which is, again, not as many qualifiers. It is situational. But of players who came into a game, didn't start the game, came into it, he had three hits and three RBI. It had only ever happened once. And that was in their expansion season in 93. Jayhawk Owens did it. Against Houston, which wasn't an interleague game at the time. Houston was in the National League. I think the date might have been June 12th, maybe. But that's – I wouldn't have guessed that had ever happened. I mean, that's a really odd instance.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't happen a lot, obviously, right? Usually guys who sub into games come in late and only have the opportunity to get an at-bat or two. Usually it's just one, you know, and a little bit more in the American League. With the DH and stuff where you can kind of move people in and out, play matchups a little bit more. So if the tough lefty started the game and so you kept a left-handed bat on the bench, as soon as that guy comes out, it's easier in the American League and soon in the National League to just put your righty immediately into the game because you've got more pieces to move around. You don't have to worry about that extra spot on your roster. But yeah, like it just – it was really, really cool, especially right after he'd hit the big home run in L.A. Another thing that, you know, we talked about, Rockies never done before, having the go-ahead home run in the ninth inning in L.A. against the Dodgers. So back to your question at the beginning of this whole thing, is Sam Hilliard, you know, back to being a thing, at least a little bit of one? Yeah, you've got to see if this is, you know, right. It's so bizarre though. It's what this season's about. You got to find the ways, but at the same time, you're not going to bench Tapia when Daza's ready to go. You got to get him back in there and you're not going to bench Blackman. So you've got to find ways to get Hilliard in there. He hasn't played first base in a while. I don't know if they have any interest in having him do that. And I think they're, you know, ready to get Connor Joe and Joshua Fuentes there. Run at first with obviously Joshua doing some at third. And so where does Hilliard go? Is it better for him to stay at the big leagues and try to ride this hot straight? He's got to be feeling good right now. And for right now, yeah, play him every day. If until Daza comes back, just play him, start him, see what happens, find out, hope it goes well. And this becomes a tough decision because as we've always said, like it's so Daza and Hilliard are like polar opposite center fielders for you. One's got all the potential in the world, but hasn't really shown a consistency to be able to maximize any of that potential. It has a much lower floor. And then with Daza, you've got a much higher floor and a great consistency on his resume back through the minors and now even at the major league level. But at the absolute best, you're getting a really good singles hitter and a good defender. And that's it. I don't know how you play. This is a tough one, man. This is a tough one for any manager to try to figure out now that you're seeing some life out of Hilliard.
Yeah, I think it will just be mixing and matching and all right, you're going to play half a game. And we saw it kind of last night play out. Story comes out again, protecting them, bubble wrap. That's the choice, especially when the game was locked up. And so Rogers moves over to shortstop. McMahon moves over to second base. We see the Rockies debut of Rio Ruiz, great name. It's a pretty good baseball name. He gets his first base hit as well. You like to see that. And yeah, I think it's interesting for anyone that is thinking, hey, well, maybe Hilliard could be at first base. You trade Crone. Going from the outfield to infield is a lot harder. I think that's why, you know, you probably fans who've listened to our podcast and just Rockies fans in general have probably noticed this trend of guys who are infielders who've moved to the outfield. Garrett Hampson, shortstop, Long Beach State. He can play some outfield. Chris Owens, we know, shortstop, came up in the D-backs organization. He's now played some outfield. Ryan Vallade, one of your top prospects at AAA, shortstop, moved over to third base. He's gone to the outfield. It doesn't really go the other way. It's why Charlie Blackman's still playing in right field, as much as at one point a couple years ago, that was this idea floated, like, hey, could he go first base?
Right.
He could try, but it's a rarity. You know, they tried Sam Hilliard at first base in Lancaster, I remember a few years ago, played about 5 games, 36 innings. You know, I'm sure he's fine, but that's a tall order to ask.
That's a tall order to ask. Especially when you haven't done it in a while. I wouldn't even bother at this point. And also when he was playing some first base in the minors, he was just a corner guy in the outfield. When they took away first base, they added center field. So like he's been doing that, right? That's a very, very, very different thing. And so, yeah, like he's been, not only has he not played that position a while, he's in lieu of that been learning this other very difficult position to play. I think
Rockies fans probably know this as well, honestly, if not better than any other fan base in all of baseball. It's the value of a good defensive first baseman. And there might not be an entire display case of Gold Glove trophies, but they have seen the differences, right? No, absolutely. Right. That's my point, is that they've seen the difference. And when a guy's been slightly off and you go, oh, Daniel Murphy, and then you see the big plays that Mark Reynolds made, you know, going all out of the full extension and stretching, you go, wow, that was amazing. And Todd Helton giving confidence to those young infielders. And you heard Nolan Arenado talk about that. And just all of these things. And Josh Fuentes last season, you see him at first base and was like, oh my God, what a breath of fresh air after everything with Daniel Murphy. So I think
fresh off of Murphy and Desmond. Yeah.
And the big cat, you know, can't forget Andre Scalarraga, the original guy too. I mean, there's a reason he was a cat. There was something I tweeted out on, I think it was Monday, when CJ Crone stole a base and went down a rabbit hole of first basemen who have stolen bases. Again, another reason to make sure you're following us at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter and at Drew Kreisman on Twitter, and running through the names of guys. Justin Morneau never did it. Ryan Sheely and Ty Van Berkelio never did it. Other Rockies.
You made that second person up.
That's the name. I've seen the name. I couldn't have told you if he was actually on the Rockies. I've seen the name. That's all I will say. But anyway, going and looking at that list, Big Cat, 55 stolen bases. You go, all right, is that a lot? Is that a little? It's a decent amount. It also is the record. And for a guy that only played in Colorado for 5 seasons and a guy that played for 17 in Todd Helton, he had 30-something.
30, yeah.
He doesn't even have the record. So, again, just that ability to play defense is so huge. And Rockies fans have been spoiled, and that's a good thing. And that's what I mean when I say Rockies fans know the importance of great defense. So – playing around and doing that transitional game of, hey, maybe let's give Hilliard a shot, or let's throw Blackman over at first base. Like, you're playing with fire there, and you're going to want to kill that experiment pretty quickly, because it's going to come at the behest and a frustration of your starting pitchers who are now going to have to labor more and extended innings and all those things. And so that probably won't be something that happens, and we'll see. We haven't even got a good look at Connor Joe at first base, really.
Right. I want to see all that stuff.
That I'm looking forward to.
I'll see this.
Maybe Rio Ruiz even.
I don't want to get seriously, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I have, you know, looked at the upcoming free agent class, and you know, there are certain positions I'm not super stoked on. I really wish there were more interesting outfielders available, because I feel like that's a spot where the Rockies maybe could build, but first base is one of those spots too. If it turns out that Connor Joe is an organizational guy, or maybe a bench guy, or a role guy, and I think that's the most likely case. You know, I don't think that they're, you know, what's great about Ryan McMahon, again, I'm already into offseason strategy, and I'm sorry about that. We'll do more of this later, but is that he kind of allows you to decide whether or not what you need is a third baseman, a second baseman, or a first baseman, because whatever you go and get, McMahon can just go play the other spot. The way I've looked around at it, I think the Rockies get the most value at first, actually. There's a lot of first base. Now, you've got to have some interest in some guys. And I don't think they're going to get Anthony Rizzo as much as I would love it, because I love Anthony Rizzo. And, you know, but that's just not a thing. But there's a lot of other guys who are basically almost Anthony Rizzo, like those kinds of slugging guys who aren't in their primes anymore, but play really good defense and are lifelong first basemen. I'm like, yeah, get one of them. That sounds good. How about one of those? So, yeah, these are the things we find out for the rest of the year. It doesn't look like they've got an answer there. There's going to be a pretty great market at first base, and whether they get the best guy or the third best guy or the fourth best guy, opportunity to improve their situation there. So,
and with so much, you know, money coming off the books this year, or at least them having more money next year, you know, someone could come knocking and say, hey, will you take this contract off our hands and, you know, maybe, you know, pay this guy? Rockies could say, yeah, sure. That kind of kills two birds with one stone. We've got money to spend.
Eric Hosmer. I think Eric Hosmer.
And the interesting thing with Eric, I was talking with somebody, I think you would, because actually, if you go look at his contract, it's not really bad going forward. I think he makes $22 million next year. It was very much front loaded. That was, again, it's interesting how he said, hey, we're in July. We're talking about the offseason plan. These are the things that front offices are doing. They're looking years ahead down the line, sure. Especially when they sign guys to contracts and things of that nature. And that was what AJ Preller did say. Yeah, we'll give you $100+ million, but most of it's going to come in the first half plus of your deal, because that's when we've got the money to spend. But then when we're contending, we're going to need to go out and pay top dollar to free agents. So you know what? It's right. Going to slide back down. In fact, the Rockies did that essentially with Desmond's contract. And it really made it look somewhat favorable. They're only going to pay him $8 million this year. And you go, that's not bad, you know, necessarily, especially if you're going to get the guy you're hoping to get. But yeah, I think Hosmer gets $22 million next year. And then it's $13 million for the next 4 years after that. And you go, yeah, that's perfect. And that's perfect in time, you know, for the timeline of Michael Polia.
Let him eat up the budget of a team that's not, yes, 100%.
Hodges could even pay some money down on his deal.
John Gray contract, right?
Yeah.
I would give John Gray the opposite of the Germán Márquez deal. Pay John Gray $17 million next year, because who cares? And then let it become cheaper and cheaper as he's going to get a little bit older and you're going to need to build more in the future. So those are exactly.
And it increases his, maybe not increases, but then it also does give you some flexibility on the trade market, where you go and say, hey, his contract is down. Like, again, if Desmond plays this year, he would be a guy we'd be talking about, hey, expiring deal, veteran, crushes left-handed pitching, could actually provide, you know, give you a little bit of value. Maybe even the Reds are a team that says, hey, Givens and Desmond, and we'll give you this and then some, right? Like you've got that potential. So if the Padres are a team that the Rockies, you know, do have that confidence and are bold enough to jump back into the fray with making those kind of trades, maybe they get a couple $1 million to pay down his deal. You don't even need that. Just say, actually, you know what? Save the money you're going to give us and just give us better prospects. And again, Hosmer keeps the seat warm for Michael Tolia, who's a guy that's pretty much going to be handed that job. He's going to be the first baseman. He's done going into the outfield. First base is his position. And we assume with the universal DH coming, Hosmer, if his DH starts to go down, then you've got a DH built in there. Maybe not a DH that's going to go and hit 30, 35 home runs in the vein of a Nelson Cruz. But again, you can work that out.
There's a lot of different ways to
flexibility. That's correct.
That's what I love about all that stuff, for sure. All right. We are at the hour mark, but there's one last thing I want to talk about from the game last night. And it is going to be brought to you by our friends at Chevalier Mortgage. Do make sure that you are letting the protectors of the realm protect your realm. It can be stressful. It can be intimidating. Really, no one should go through the housing market, especially this one out here in Colorado, on their own. Let Mike and Virginia Chevalier take the burden off of this extremely difficult process. They can alleviate so much of the stress, and they can even have a little bit of fun with you. They're big DNVR fans. They're big Colorado sports fans. They know all about what we're doing here. They can chat with you about the latest in Michael Givens and Gabe Landeskog news while also helping you with your mortgage. So We also got this great fun perk for DNVR listeners. You go to dnvrmortgage.com, enter to win a free shirt or hat of your choice. But most importantly, you'll get set up with a totally free consultation to discuss all of your options. That's dnvrmortgage.com. Or you can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or Mike directly at 970-412-2472. Michael Chevalier, NMLS number 1931006, and Virginia Chevalier, NMLS number 1910631. And the Rockies insurance policy last night, Austin scoring 12 runs on the road, starting pitcher Austin Gomber, once again, going out there and just doing the damn thing. It can be a little bit of a trap when you're spotted a big lead like that early. Not only that, he also had a couple of innings where he was sitting on the bench for a good 30, 35 minutes because the Rockies rallies weren't like single, three-run jack. There was a lot of like long drawn bats and walks, and he's just sitting there. And he made one mistake. One pitch he wants back, a two-strike, and he had him too. He had him on the pitch before. He had Shohei Ohtani, struck out, except foul tip by that much of the bat. Got a piece. Gosh, Shohei Ohtani is good. I don't know how he got a piece of that. And then Gomber hangs a slider right in the middle of the plate. The best player in baseball hits it out, and Gomber was pissed. It made it a 10-2 baseball game, and I loved that so much.
Oh yeah, absolute warrior. And it's funny because the previous night in that big Marquez Ohtani matchup, which was just fantastic to watch. Incidentally, I was at a sports bar for a function that I did not coordinate. If I did, we would have been at the DNVR bar, and I won't name this very notable sports bar that we used to actually talk about a lot. They didn't have the Rockies game anywhere in the whole damn place. Unbelievable. So we had to request it, watch the game. And the previous night, as I said, on Monday night, Ben Bowden, right down the pike, Ohtani missed it.
Yeah.
And we were all like, wow, he would love to have that one back.
Yep.
So Ohtani took the L there, actually struck out against Bowden in a 6-pitch at bat there on Monday night. And on Tuesday night, it wasn't going to happen again when it goes right in over his happy spot. But yeah, Gomber still looks just so impressive with the 7 strikeouts, 2 walks. You know, hopefully it will be interesting to see, you know, how well he pitches at Coors Field in August, because man, those are the dog days. Those are the roughest game as long as the season has felt for many, and again, not just Rockies fans, and I'm not picking on the organization necessarily, because again, this feels like a long season, I think, for any fan base, because it literally has been as long as all of 2020. And there's a postseason too, right? Every team watched 2 months of games. We are way past that. This is the date of the final World Series game. If you go back and look at last year's calendar, essentially, right? So we still got 2 more months, and man, those hot days at Coors Field in August can be absolutely brutal on pitchers. The ball's flying, even when it's in the humidor. And I like, you know, Gomber's chances of being okay, right? Like there, he's going to give up some more home runs you know, he's a fly ball pitcher, but if he can keep his walks down and continues to have the strikeout numbers he does, man, there's a lot to like about him going forward. And he has, I think, still 4 more years of control. So he's the longest controlled guy, right? Yeah. You got two more years with Freeland and Senzatella locked up before there's any kind of extension. You got one more year after Marquez after that, and Gomber still after that. So you still got that core together, and I'm really excited to see if Gomber can keep it together. I think he will for the most part, and he should. And he's one of the exciting things. There's still a lot of excitement surrounding this team as far as the future goes. And yes, a lot of it can be down in Spokane and Fresno there on the West Coast in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
But there's also still some on this team too. And Gomber is probably at the top of that list.
Yeah. I mean, so he gives up 5 hits in 6 innings, right? As you said, the 7 strikeouts, the 2 walks, and really the Ohtani home run was the only thing that anyone lined up real well against him. And he just continues to go out there and be at worst a quality start machine. And at this point you kind of expect more than a quality start out of Austin Gomber.
For sure. It's
been quite some time since he's, you know, been lit up or just gone out there, not had it, had a bad game. Even the fact that he's walked three in his last two games is a little bit like, well, it's a little more than the walk rate was before. But beyond that, it's just he's been so steady. And so in the midst of all that going on last night, where the Rockies are finally kind of finding some offensive momentum, run through some of that really quick. Obviously, a couple hits for Tapia. More great stuff from Brendan Rodgers, who's homered in consecutive games now. He continues to look fantastic. I think it's between him and Gomber. You were talking, you know, who's one, who's two. They're 1A, 1B, and guys who are on the major league roster right now that should make you excited about the future. Story with his big double. We'll see what goes on there, but it was at the very least nice to see him get a solid hit after being hit in the hand the night before. And then we talked about
screeching. Oh, that could have given me nightmares. That he made. I can't believe he stayed in the game. I can't believe after not being able to bend it, he was able to later bend it like completely. I'm like, Keith Duggar, you are a soothsayer. Like you, like what kind of mortar and pestle things are you mixing up in the dugout to make the body now all of a sudden with clearly like a sprained pinky all of a sudden is fine. And so we don't know that it's entirely fine, but he's playing on it and it hasn't really impacted his play in general. So, you know, good on him. And I love Ohtani throwing over to first base after Story got hit. If you saw that, which was a good bit of gamesmanship after Marquez did that to Ohtani.
Yeah.
If you remember after Ohtani singled. And he was throwing over. So, man, Monday night's game really was great. I also tweeted out that was the first interleague game the Rockies had where you had two all-star game representatives, one of which was a starter
in
the all-star game, and only the third time total that had ever happened. So it's a rarity.
Thanks, Dave Roberts. Thanks a lot for screwing it up. It should have been both of them, because how many times has that ever happened?
Oof. Yes, that's a good question.
Two All-Star Game starters then face off against each other, especially like a week after the All-Star Game.
Well, and that's the thing is that you can't necessarily say, okay, let's go back to April and look to see who the Rockies is. Because really that's the caveat if you see the qualifier. If you say, you have to know two All-Star Game pitchers, it's really after the All-Star Game. And so that actually, it's probably a 15, 20 minute bit of research. But if you get that, you can, again, have one of Drew Kreisman's wings when he's down at the bar. You can get a patented fist bump from me if you do that work. But you could actually find that out. I would be curious. I bet it's happened at least once where you had a rematch of the All-Star game. But it's pretty rare. You're right.
Yeah, that'd be tough to do. So, yeah, and even Ohtani going over and apologizing and having a nice, like, Ohtani's just the best. He's just the absolute best. I love it. I'll watch anything that guy does. And then finally, Connor Joe with the three hit, three ribby day, batting in the eighth spot with the DH, with Hampson down there in the ninth spot. So nice to see out of him again. That's one of those things. I think if they do figure out a way to trade Crones, but you know, if he's healthy and even if he's not, whatever it may be. And when we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, right? Like, who's going to end up having more innings at first base for the Rockies by the end of the year? Connor Joe or CJ Crone, and we both kind of agreed that Crone is definitely going to build up this lead for a while. But if he gets traded, is there going to be enough time for Joe to get those innings? And I think we're still looking at that scenario. So that's going to be really fascinating to see how much Connor Joe do we get? How much do you need? How much can you take?
Yeah, that was and that was another semi-historic. I mean, that's historic, but it's a rarity. It was the first time a Rockies player had batted eighth or ninth and had recorded three hits and three RBI in a game since Noel Cuevas in Seattle in 2018.
I remember that game. That was a huge game. He hit basically, you can't hit a walk-off home run in somebody else's park, but he basically did. It was the eighth, maybe top of the ninth, and it was a three-run jack in a really close game against, in my recollection, you know, a really good reliever. That might have even still been – did they still have Edwin Diaz back then before he got traded?
It may have actually been off Juan Nicasio. James Paxton started that game.
But, yeah, I remember Paxton Just, you know, and it was just, and he, and this guy, Noel Cuevas, who.
Yeah,
just,
top of the seventh off Paxton, yeah.
Basically Connor Joe of that team. but of course that team was going places, and they needed that W at that time. That sent them on a nice little run too. That was huge. I remember that Noel Cuevas home run. By far his best moment as a major leaguer.
And that's though, other than him getting coffee in Chicago across at Starbucks across from Wrigley Field. And that's, I guess that's second. It's my favorite Cuevas memory. But yeah, if you're listening to the podcast, go on, watch the video so you can get the hand gesture down. But going forward, when we have the Joe chant, I submit we need to have full extension, Hunter Pence-esque, and Hunter Pence, of course, got this from potential future AEW superstar Bryan Danielson. But it has to be Joe, 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 Joe. You got to get the
a Samoa Joe one,
point
we're
it up.
Doing, we're not doing a Samoa.
Is no, it has to be like yes, the yes yeah, chant, but it's Joe, Joe, Joe. Get the whole place going.
I love it.
It's the new wave. It's the new wave. Joe, the whole stadium pumping their hands up in the air. It
kills the old wave. all right. So we'll find out. Rubber match this evening. Another one of these. This is the last one of the year, right? Where they wrap up the series with a night game.
I believe it is, yes. Yeah, it's a very weird one. Yeah. I think Miami, they do in L.A. Very, very strange. And then they've got four in San Diego. So they've got two wins on the road. I think we put the over under 2.5.
We did.
So I took the under. Got to prove me wrong. They're looking good right now. You got to think they're going to lose 5 in a row. They've been competitive. They're competitive every game.
Yeah.
How could they not?
Yeah, I feel like they're.
I think they're going to win at least one. I think I'm going to be wrong overall. So I think they'll win at least one, two. Now you might be getting greedy.
Yeah.
So maybe they lose today. And
Chi-Chi on the hill. But of course, if they win tonight, then they've won a second road series just like that after having not won it all year.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. We'll be in on it. Still no announcement of the pitchers for the Padres series. Is that because no one knows exactly who's going to be on whose teams?
I mean, I guess, one of the resources that I use, just by looking at, you know, again, nothing is definitive, but from what I see to throw it out there, looks like Thursday, again, you go to the same rotation order. Kyle Freeland against Joe Musgrove. Friday, John Gray against Ryan Weathers. Saturday, Herman Marquez against Yu Darvish. Two all-star pitchers there. Actually, did Darvish make the team and he just sat out? I've drawn a blank now. And then on Sunday, Austin Gomber against Chris Paddock. Man, hey, that's what does it. You look at the starting pitching matchups and that just gets you excited.
Yeah, man. It's gonna be some fun baseball right up until the bullpen comes into the game every day. So join us for all of that. Each of these next several days should be fun and interesting, and you know, especially with the deadline coming up, all that stuff. We shall keep you abreast. I love saying that word of all of the goings on, and of course, what's happening out there on the field with your Colorado Rockies. We thank you all for listening in to this episode today. Make sure you're following everyone on social media at Patrick B. Lyons, at Drew Kreisman, at DNVR_Rockies, that you're subscribed to the DNVR.com so that you get all the written content, all the discounts, access to the Discord channel, and all the other fun perks that come along with being a member of the DNVR family. We appreciate you all. We can only ask that you continue to be absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. We will continue to be absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we'll see you at the ballpark.